I have good news for you today. Who could use a little good news? And so I'm not going to say, first of all, turn in your Bible. Many of you know that last week we, myself and four other men from the church, went down to Colombia in South America. I'd never been to Colombia before. I've been actually many times to Central America, Honduras, El Salvador, Mexico, but this is the first time on that other continent. And it was a beautiful place, much like Honduras, but I want to share with you some testimonies today. Have you ever gone over to somebody's house, eaten dinner, then afterwards they pull out the slide projector? You have to be really old to remember the slide projectors. But or pull out their phone and start showing you pictures of their last vacation. Well, great news is that's what you're in store for today. I know you were looking forward to it today. Years ago, I have come home and just preached the next message, and people say, why didn't you share about your trip? And so I want to just give some testimonies, if I can, take you on a little bit of the journey that we went on last week. And I can tell you one thing, almost nothing went as we planned. Almost nothing. But the Lord was faithful, and I have so many testimonies about the way the Lord just showed up and guided our steps. There were so many things, and I'll share with you as many as I can remember, because I don't know if you noticed, I don't have any notes this morning. It's just going to be all, I don't need them because I was just there. But I have a lot of pictures, and most of my pictures weren't off of my great camera. They were just off of our cell phones because we were taking pictures as stuff was happening to us. And so here we are all safe, and we have a testimony that everything that the Lord had for us to accomplish was accomplished. And still, nothing, almost nothing, went as we planned it. And so this is on the coast, by the way. This is about a block up from the house where we stayed. And that is the Caribbean at sunset. But let me just begin with the first part of our story. So it took about 30 hours to get down here, which is just astronomical. Not all of that is on a plane, but there are layovers. You fly down to Houston and then sit there for several hours. And then we flew down to Bogota and then up to the northern part of the country. And so this man that's on the left, his name is Aaron Hunter. He's been to our church before. How many remember Pastor Aaron? I met him about 20 years ago in Honduras. We were on the same stage, and I was going to get ready to share a testimony and come back and preach at the biggest church in Foursquare. At the time, it was about 20,000 people. It's like a big airplane hangar. And it was so awesome. Boy, when you preach, doesn't matter what you're preaching on, when you're preaching in a building that big and your voice echoes, everything you say sounds important. Everything, every point you make sounds like Billy Graham preaching to this big crowd. And I turned around and there was Aaron next to me, and he comes up and he speaks to me in perfect English. And he goes, hi, I'm Aaron. And I said, really, where are you from? He says, Tacoma, Washington. I said, no way, what are the odds? I said, I used to live up in Bremerton. And so he's just a couple years younger than I, but at that time he was just an assistant down at that church, ended up being the children's pastor. And then we supported him down in Chile. And then he moved up to Medellin, Colombia, as the next gen director for Foursquare. And just this last year, he was appointed for Foursquare Missions, the director of overseeing all of the Americas. So everything in the Western Hemisphere, it's my buddy. I've known him back when he was single and we both had hair. And now he's got three beautiful kids that are all growing up, and a beautiful wife. So he met us at the airport, and this is the only time we saw him. He's apologized for this several times because of the rest of the story that I'm going to tell you. But we had breakfast with him, and we shared stories, and it was just a wonderful time. This is at the airport in Bogota while he's on the way out to Italy. So I give him a hard time. I said, after all these years trying to get me to come down to Colombia, and I come down and you go to Italy. I said, how does that follow? And so he says, I know, Brother Mike, and he really owes me right now. So don't tell him that I forgive him. But so we traveled down to the church, and I'll show you our path in just a second. It took me a little bit because the church doesn't have an address yet. It's in a little town called Coveñas, which is on the Caribbean coast of Colombia, the north coast. There's a Pacific coast down in the south, and on the north coast is Coveñas. and a little town, and the main road is kind of like Highway 101 that goes down the coast here in Oregon, the main highway that goes down to Caribbean coast, and then there's an intersection that goes up through the town. One block up from that main intersection is the church. And there's a rental house that the pastor and his family stay at, and there's a little church, most of which had been torn down. You can see those pillars are what's left of the old church. And so over the past few months, they've been knocking out the old blocks, and we sent money down, and they've begun the work. And so here is the pastor. That's me in the middle. And the pastor, his name is Jose. That is Sam on the right, and on the left, that is the children's pastor, whose name is Nai. And she is the one who brought us down there. And so here's how the story goes. And I'm going to tell you a lot of stuff to say, wow, what a coincidence. But I don't know about you. Once I tell you the story, you say, Pastor Mike, that's no coincidence. That was the Lord looking after you. So I call Aaron. Aaron says, when are you coming down to Columbia? I said, call me when you've got something for me to do. I don't like to just go to places just to be on a mission trip. And he says, all right. And so he calls me one day and he says, I just met this young lady. Her name is Nai. She loves the Lord. She's been a believer for about 6 years. And she's a children's pastor up in this town. And the church isn't very big, but when she has a meeting for kids, about 150 kids from the town show up. And so I asked her, is there any way we could help? She goes, yeah, we don't have a building. And so at first he says, you know, could you go up and build a children's chapel? Well, that's something our church does. We go and we've built churches in El Salvador and Honduras and all sorts of places and in Mexico. And I said, yeah, we could do that. And so we took up an offering. Many people gave towards that church. Also, our dear brother Ken Ibe passed away just in December, went to be home with the Lord. And their family told all of their friends, which he had a lot because he was invested in a lot of people's lives. But they said, in lieu of flowers, would you give to this building project in Columbia? And so I don't know, about half of the money came from that. Half came from your gifts. But we were able to send that money down up ahead of time. And so Nai goes to Aaron and says, could you help us build a church? And he says to me, can you help build a church? And then all of this happened. And so it all just kind of came together. But it was because of the faithfulness of this young lady that's serving kids. You know, the Bible says, Jesus told us, you have not because you ask not. You know, so many times we wonder why, Lord, I wish I could do more things for you or accomplish more, but when's the last time you just asked him? You know, we don't know sometimes what's waiting around the corner or who's ready to bless us or who's ready to invest or what opportunities there are unless we make ourselves available. And so I said almost nothing went as I planned. I'm quite convinced that most of what happened down there was exactly according to the Lord's plan, and it wouldn't have happened had we not said yes and had you not said yes. So before anything, I just want to thank you for your faithfulness and your responsiveness to spreading the word of the gospel. And so, I'm going to continue on. So here's the stage that we were on. That's Sam and Vernon, my two boys, working hard, so proud. And so we were digging footings. That's what those are. Those rebar pillars are going to be filled in with concrete. But they were digging out the footings so that we could tie together the rebar with wire. Anybody worked on concrete knows what I'm talking about. That's mostly what we accomplished in this week. And I knew this going in, that we weren't going to go down start to finish and build a church. Mainly, our job in building the church was to provide the funds so that they could do it, because there were about four or five guys that showed up every day, worked from sun up till sundown, and they know how to build according to the way they build down there. And it gives them something to do, and it gives them a little income. And so mostly when we take a team down, we hand them blocks or we pitch in and help, and we're just kind of there for token support and relationship, yeah? Because we know most of what's going to take place is going to happen before and after we're there. But we worked anyway. There's Jonathan Diaz, who was up here playing bass a minute ago, working and been in the rebar and filling in those footings. And Sam got to do a really fun job. He made a door. So at the back of the old church building, there wasn't a there needs to be an access door. And so Sam got the sledgehammer out and went to the, what teenager doesn't want to knock a door in the middle of a wall with a sledgehammer, right? There's some more of the rebar. And there's a model of the church. And so whether or not they're going to do both stories, the amount of money that we gave will help them get the initial structure. Oftentimes, they just leave the rebar sticking up on the second story so that they can finish that off in due time. But that's the model of what it's going to look like eventually. And so perhaps down the road, there will be another stage, and I'll let you know, and I'll say, who wants to help them do the next stage of their building project, right? It's amazing in the third world how much you can accomplish with so little money. Something that to build an entire church down there, you know, you couldn't put a porch on a house here. And so this is the back of there with the door that was built. And there is Brad, who's back there at the computer today. And I just have to tell you, what a great team. After everything that happened, to have Brad and Jonathan on the team, they were just troopers. They're two of the nicest guys you've ever met. Hardworking, smart, easygoing. I mean, they're the perfect travel companions. I don't think there was ever a time I said, what do you guys think we should do? And they're like, whatever. So, you know, it was just like that the whole trip. We all got along great. I don't think we had one argument the whole time. So then there's Jonathan helping the guys bend up rebar. And then mostly what happened next, and I'll explain why, is stuff like this. And so here's Pastor Jose, and there's Vernon. You laugh at me. How can you pause? I have six of them. That's why. Do you ever forget your kid's name? I say, hey, what's your name? Just come on. Anyway, that's number six. And he was sitting there in the dirt. It's amazing to me when you put teenagers in contact with little kids, they figure out things to do. We brought like 23 soccer balls. So one of them got pumped up and we kicked the soccer ball around and they played games and they wrestled and, you know, just stuff like that. There's a bonding and a relationship that takes place that can only happen when you're eyeball to eyeball. You know, there's some people that say, well, why don't you just send money? Isn't it a lot cheaper than going down and taking a trip? The answer is always, of course it is. But there are some things, in fact, I would say most of what was really accomplished on this trip could not have happened without being cara a cara, face to face, without being right there, relational. And so I think what they were doing right there is spelling out the alphabet and teaching each other how it was pronounced. And so, then it was lunchtime. And man, one of our mottos, my dad taught me because I was a missionary kid. One of our, if we had a family scripture, it was eat what is set before you with thanksgiving without raising a question. If we had a family crest, it would be a fork and spoon. Because I just grew up, still to this day, I almost never complain about the food. My motto is that every day's a holiday and every meal's a feast. And they brought us a really special plate, which was a delicacy. It was just fish and rice. Anybody want to have lunch now? With the teeth sticking out and the face and the tail on it. I think that's the first time my boys ever got to eat something like that. That's called the Sierra fish. I never heard of it before. Have you? Sierra. Anyway, there it was on my plate. And as you can tell, my boys were thrilled. So thrilled looking at me. And I had read them the Riot Act about eat, be grateful. And I'm just looking at them like this. Eat it, eat it. And they're just like, okay, what are we going to do with this thing? It's grinning at me, Dad. It's smiling. Anyway, they liked the coconut rice. That's what was with it. And then I had to finish their fish off. But so right across the street or the alleyway, whatever you'd call it, is where they make the blocks. And so they're right next to a block manufacturing place to put it all together. And then something happened. And here's where the story kind of goes sideways. So this is the first, everything that I explained to you is kind of the day and a half it took us to get there and the first morning. And first morning, maybe within just the first couple of hours. And so here's the map of Colombia. So we flew down to Bogota, which is the main airport. And then from there, we flew up to Cartagena after having breakfast with Pastor Aaron, which is another big and very old port city. And we got to visit there, but we just traveled through. And then I rented an SUV, and we drove down to Covinas. It's about 3.5-hour drive, and it took us longer because we had to have two cars. One for our for their suitcases. We had 5 suitcases, one for each person. And then we had 5 suitcases full of clothes and toys. And I asked the sister, I said, should we bring toys and clothes? She said, bring clothes because these kids are so poor. And it was a little bit difficult. Once we got up to up to Cartagena, they stopped us with those 5 suitcases and unzipped them and said, what are you doing bringing all this stuff in? And here's the point that I get to use my Spanish. And I used to say back in the day that I know just enough Spanish to get myself in trouble, but not enough to get myself out of it. I've gotten better. I now am just barely fluent enough in Spanish to get myself out of most problems. Also, I have a gift. Molly calls it a gift. I don't know if she usually thinks of it that way, but she says, I have a gift of being irritating. And so she says, I get caught in one of these places where they open up our suitcase and say, you can't bring all this stuff in. So this is contraband. And I just keep talking to first the guy, and then they sent me to the boss lady at the security point, and she brings me back into her office and makes me prove that I'm a pastor by showing her the website. And she's just saying, it's too much stuff. You can't bring all this stuff. I said, yeah, but we're not selling it. We're giving it away. And I don't know a lot. She would talk really fast, so I caught about maybe 10% of what she was yelling at me about. And then I would just keep telling back to her, I whatever else I messed up in the sentence, I knew 3 words. I know regalos, I know niños, and I know iglesia, which means these are gifts for the kids at the church. And I knew how to tell her that there was 150, there are 150 of them. And she goes, you can only bring 5 things into the country. And I said, I did. I brought 5 suitcases full of stuff. It's for kids. What is it about gifts, kids in church, you don't understand? I just keep talking. Here's what Molly says my gift is. I have a gift to just keep talking without giving up until finally people get tired of me and they say, fine, just go. They just want to get rid of me. And eventually that's what she did. She goes, oh, fine. She goes, listen. And she said it in Spanish, but I understood exactly what she meant. She goes, don't ever do this again. I'm only going to let you buy this one time, but next time you come, don't bring this much stuff. And I said, fine, so we can go? All right. So we piled all the stuff back in, got in our suitcase. 20 minutes down the road, north of Covinas, we get pulled over by a roadblock. Actually, the other driver with the suitcases got pulled over, and we went back and helped him. This time it was a police roadblock, and so they've got their guns, and they pull us aside, pull all our suitcases out on the side of the road. If you help pack, you know how much stuff this was. Pull all those suitcases out, unzip them all, look through all of the clothes and the toys and the soccer balls and the color. And once again, they're saying, why do you have so much stuff? And I said, what? Clothes, toys, church. It's for the kids at the church. And once again, they finally said, fine, but don't do it again. Only this one time. We went to the place exhausted after 2 days of travel and went to our rental house, and the guy met us there, and I found it on Airbnb. I just looked for a house that is close by, and I'll tell you a little bit about that miracle in a second. And right next door, and I knew this when I rented it, is a little restaurant, a little mom-and-pop restaurant right on the beach. And went down there, and they had all sorts of fish, although I was the only one on our team that liked fish. But they also had some amazing arroz con pollo, the chicken and rice meal that was just amazing. I could eat it for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and I did. Because what happened next was this. Are you watching the map? What happened next was this. And so the morning we got there was Wednesday, I can't, anyway, it was Thursday morning, and it was on the 4th, whatever the 4th was. It's on the 4th we got there, and the next morning was the 5th, and that's when we went to the church and had that lunch and worked on the church building. At 9:15 that morning, a bus was burned. A bus was blown up on the side of the highway right on the same route. It was actually just a little south of us right down here, the same route that we were traveling. And the pastor comes to me and says, "Pastor Mike, I've got bad news." He says, "What?" He says, "Everything has just been shut down." So here's what the story is. Do I have any pictures? Yeah. So this guy. So I didn't know this, but how many remember stories from back in the 90s of the drug cartels in Colombia and Pablo Escobar? I just assumed all that was over. I've been watching, you know, Narcos on Netflix, and that's an old story, right? Well, come to find out in a poor country like this that's abundant in cocaine, that problem never really goes away. It just turns into somebody else's problem. And some things completely beyond our control happened. And so this man, his nickname is Othniel. I forget his big, long, real name. But he is the latest iteration, the kingpin of a cartel named the Clan de Golfo, which means the Gulf Clan or the Gulf Cartel. That's the largest drug smuggling cartel in Colombia. Still provides most of the cocaine to the world. And they caught him in October. So he was captured in October. You would think, well, then that's the end of the story. But on the same day that we arrived, the government of Colombia and the United States decided to extradite him back to the United States. And so if you know anything about that whole history, one of the worst things that happened to the drug dealers down in Central America is extradition. So if you get arrested for trafficking drugs in Colombia, they put you in a jail cell. You have a cell phone and your own bed. All your people can visit you. You still continue to run your business. Your girlfriend visits you. They can bring you food. It's kind of like being on vacation. And then if you have enough money, you can usually pay somebody off and get out early on good behavior. That's what happened to all of those big drug traffickers for years until the government of Colombia decided to agree with the United States for extradition because of the drugs that are coming up to the United States being a crime here, even though they've never been here. And so what happens is during the presidential election, there's usually candidates that are for extradition and candidates that are against. The current president is for it. The guy that's running against him is, he doesn't say it, but he's kind of against extradition. Come to find out, he was a part of M19, which was a paramilitary guerrilla unit back in the day when he was younger. He's running for president, and the elections are May 29th. And so all of this happened. You couldn't have prepared for this. But because of that extradition, the Klan and its paramilitary wing, the ACG, they're kind of a guerrilla unit, kind of more of a right wing than left wing. They took over the whole northern part of the country and sent out by social media that everything is shut down. So they just basically said all shops are to shut down, all the schools are shut down, all the stores are shut down, nobody's to do any business, there's not going to be any commercial traffic. They took a bus and hijacked a truck and turned it sideways on the main road up from the capital and said nobody gets in or out. If you were caught driving on the road, they would catch you and take you out of your car. And this is graffiti on the side, the AGC. I said ACG. That word is armado, which means armed conflict. They declared an armado over that whole region. And they burnt cars. Most of the time they hijacked, they got the people out of the vehicles and then just set fire to the car. It wasn't like it was a grenade launcher. But they did it to buses. By the time the blockade was over, and it's so hard down there to ever tell what the statistics are, but somewhere about 100 to 187 vehicles were burned, and anywhere between 6 and 24 people were killed on the highway. Many of them were police, some were civilians, and all of this happened the week we were there. So the day we were going to start the project was on the 5th, and then we were planning on flying out from the 10th. And on the 5th, they declared a blockade of the area where we were. If you could put where we were and draw a circle around it, we're going to blockade this area between the 5th and the 10th. And so that's why I said nothing went as planned. And so now the whole plan became something different. How many of you have ever seen Apollo 13? You know, they had one plan, is to get to the moon and get back. And now our plan is just to get all our astronauts home. And so immediately as a pastor, my only job in life now is to make sure that all the team is safe and that we get home. And I'm here to tell you, just like Apollo 13, I'd like to call this mission trip the successful failure. And so, and by the way, I won't even call it, I'm going to call it the successful success. Because still, in the midst of all of this, everything that we were supposed to accomplish when we went down there was accomplished. I wouldn't have planned this. Now, this is on the road. It's down the road from us. At no point was the team, to my knowledge, ever in direct harm, where it was close by or we were in direct fear of being attacked. It was just all around us in that whole region. The pastor was worried about us the whole time. So was the rental car guy. So the pastor's name is Jose. The rental house guy's name is Jorge. And the rental car guy is Gerardo. I had to keep all of those straight. But on WhatsApp, I was texting these guys all the time. Gerardo was the worst. Anytime somebody's car got shot or whatever, he'd send me pictures of it. And basically he was saying, stay in your house, don't move. And the pastor too, he says, you know, we would love to have you come and help, but we're only one block up from the main intersection, and the last thing we want is to draw attention by having a bunch of gringos out there on our work site working. And so the local guys kept working, and Molly says, it sounds like you're kind of in house arrest. And that's kind of what we were. For the rest of the trip, most of the people we visited with came and visited us. And so here's the, we did a lot of this. We were well trained by the pandemic, by the way. We knew how to sit in a house and find something to do. And so they did that. There was a whole lot of this, a whole lot of Vernon hanging out in the hammock, and a whole lot of this, which is great, you know, kids playing with the kids and hanging out and being relational. Once again, I got to tell you, almost nothing that we were contributing to the construction project is something that they can't do. And so that wasn't the biggest deal. I wish we could have spent 3 or 4 days helping on the project instead of one day. But the most important and lasting thing, because the building's going to get built, is the relationships that we built and just that contact. And so we went back to our place. There's the little restaurant on the right, and there's Jorge on the left. So this is the view up from our house. So, you know, let's just a collective moment of silence as you feel sorry for us, right? Holed up in this big fancy house with air conditioning in the bedrooms and a pool and the Caribbean 2 blocks away and a restaurant next to it. Who could have planned that? Well, the Lord had it in mind. And so I had to tell you this also. So we were a little nervous. That morning, we went to the grocery store because Pastor knew. He says, you know, this has happened every once in a while. We need to go to the grocery store right now. It was packed. By that evening, I'm sure there was nothing left on the shelves. But we piled in our grocery cart. I got a bunch of waters and beverages and Coca-Cola. I wish I had gotten more of a variety if I knew that was going to be my last grocery stop. We drank so much Coca-Cola. And, you know, in South America, it's the real stuff with real sugar, not corn syrup. It's awesome. But I've had enough Coca-Cola to last me for a couple of years now. I'm quite convinced if you were to cut me today, my blood would look kind of sweet and fizzy. Because we're half Coca-Cola inside. But so we piled up groceries, and I told the pastor and Nye and our translator, I said, go get what you need too, because they all are very, very poor. And so I just loaded up the grocery cart with enough food to last them for the week, and we got supplied. Went back and got the team, and it was, the streets were packed that morning. Kids everywhere getting out of school because the schools were shut down. Everybody walking around the streets. By that afternoon when we drove by, there was nobody. It was a ghost town. All the doors were shut. All the shops were shut. I mean, I didn't see a tumbleweed blowing down the road, but that's what it felt like. Just a complete ghost town. Everybody was just minding the rules. And so they said, well, do you have anybody that can cook? There was a lady that could come and prepare food, but I said, you know, the most wonderful thing is, once again, I'll just say, what a coincidence. We just happen to have a restaurant next door that will bring the food to us. And that's not a coincidence. And so Nye, who's the children's pastor, said, you know, Pastor Mike, my mom has a restaurant. Two, she could help bring you food. And I said, really? Okay, show me where it is. And she said, okay. Takes me down the road. She says, turn up here. And I said, turn where? Turn right here. And I said, you're kidding me. I said, this is the road that the house that I rented on. Just by coincidence, out of all of the hundreds of Airbnbs, I just got one because it was close to the church. I also haven't ever experienced, my favorite houses, because hotels for a team are way too expensive. You can get one house, even if it's a big house, for much cheaper. And then you can prepare your own food. And I like to get one that's off the beaten path down a road where unless somebody is following you, nobody's going to know where you are. And one that's gated and that's surrounded by a security fence. And this one clicked off all of those things. And it had a restaurant next to it. So Bess and I says, turn down here. And we drive down here and we drive down to the end of the road. And she points to the restaurant that we ate at the night before. And she goes, that's the restaurant of my mom and dad. So I got to meet her parents before I ever met her. Now you tell me, what a coincidence is that? That the place I happened to pick for us to stay was next door to the restaurant that was her mom and dad. You just can't put that kind of stuff together. And there's more where that came from. There's so many things on this trip that I look back and I just said, Lord, you were looking after us every single moment of every day. And so I just want to thank the Lord for how well he took care of us, most of which I look back on now and just say, wow, Lord, that's amazing. And so here's the little restaurant, and they had rice and fish. Most of the team just had the chicken and rice, but I had to have the fish and the shrimp and the, anyway, it was wonderful. Breakfast every morning. On the left here is the father of Nye. So her mom and dad aren't believers yet, but we got to spend a lot of time then with her mom and dad. And here's me just sharing some of this testimony. Pretty much what I've shared to you is because they know, and he would tell me, he'd say, yeah, he goes, the gifting that she has to preach the gospel, he goes, I didn't teach it to her. That's just in her. That's just a gift that God gave to her. And so even though they're not yet attending the church, I know that someday she's going to be a witness to them. But here's me just sharing the testimony of what a miracle it was that we just happened to get a hold of her because she had been in contact with Pastor Aaron. And then out of all the houses, we just happened to pick the house that was next door to them. And it must have been the Lord putting it all together. And so we got a chance to testify and drink coffee with him every morning. And by the way, if you've ever heard of Colombian coffee, I just know this. It's all in Colombia. It's all espresso style. It's all this tall and super thick. And that's the way you drink coffee in Colombia. It's not American coffee, but it was delicious. And because we're well-trained in the pandemic, we knew what to do with the chessboard. So we sat around in the house and we played chess together. And then we did a lot of this kind of stuff, which is this now. Okay, so this is, yeah. So there's Pastor Jose and Pastor Nye. They're wearing a mask because they had just come from the store. This is like the third day they brought us some groceries because a lot of our groceries ended up at their house. So we mostly just had some beverages and some bread and cheese and ham. Figured out what to make do with that, and a lot of rice and a lot of chicken. And we just got to share. You know, it's amazing how much relationship can be formed when you've got downtime. You know, we learned that during the pandemic, right? Just that quality time that if we were doing something else, we wouldn't have had that relationship. But we just really got to spend a lot of time just hanging out and giving testimonies and telling stories and talking about our families and talking about what the Lord is doing in our life and building lifelong friendships. And then there's this guy. So this is Jorge. And he looks like an ordinary guy. No, I'm not buying something from him. This is on the day before we left. And he said, you need to exchange any money? And I said, yeah, I need a little bit more money for the trip home. I said, but where can I get it? He goes, he said, me. And so he says, no problem. I can exchange however much you want. So as the week went on, remember, they had said originally that it was going to be through the 10th. So that's 5 days. And then it changed to 4 days that the blockade was going to last. And when I contacted Jorge, because the pastor wanted me to stay at his house, and we were only 2 miles up the road. And I said, I think it'll be safe for us to get back to our house. And between us and them was the army bay. So it was so many things just fell into place. And so I go to call him to ask him about transportation. I contact Aaron and he says, I wish we knew somebody that was in the military that maybe we could get you guys. He was talking about helicoptering us out or if some reason we couldn't get out of the country. And I said, yeah, it would be great. He goes, I'll call around all the pastors in Colombia and see if we don't know anybody that knows somebody that has some contact. Meanwhile, on one of the display cases, Brad notices, he goes, is this guy's name Jorge Castañeda? I said, yeah. He said, because it looks like all this stuff here is military paraphernalia, and it looks like he was a colonel. And so I texted him and asked him, and sure enough, the guy that we rented the house from is a retired Marine colonel from the Colombian Marines and who is close personal friends with the area commander of that entire area that was handling this conflict. He doesn't look like it, but he was a big shot. He's retired, but he says, I can coordinate all of your security for your trip home or whatever. And, you know, the morning that we left, because they were having caravans that would get people back up to Covenas, and he says, no, I just talked to the chief of police. He goes, it's going to be fine. It's clear the whole way. And, you know, there's once again, I'm going to say, what are the odds that the guy we rented the house from, not only is his house next door to the restaurant that's right there, and it's next door to the army base, but also the guy that we rent from is on the phone with the area commander, making sure that the whole team is safe. Anybody with me so far? Jorge was an invaluable resource. That's Jorge's wife on the right there talking with me, and two of their friends. The man is Colombian, and the woman is from the United States. They dropped by just to say hello. They're from Medellin. And here's the map I want to just show you. So here down here on the right, there's the church. And here's the highway going up here to the house. That's like driving from here to Columbia City. It's 2 miles away. And right in between right here is the airfield and the military base where they train the Army and the Marines. And so on that way, there's, you know, soldiers all along the road. So if the Klan is going to attack anybody, it's not going to be right there. And then down at the end of the road, here is that restaurant where our house was. We could not have picked, in the midst of all this conflict, a safer place or a place that would be better to hold up for a week until everything cleared out. Anybody just give the Lord praise. I'm so grateful today for the Lord being faithful to us. You know, the Bible says, and Jesus was tempted one time. He says, cast yourself off of this cliff. And he said back to the devil, he said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And I just want to tell you today, I am an adventurer. I love a great adventure. I love solving problems. But I never, ever put myself in danger on purpose or anybody else. I'm a very much a safety first guy. I plan everything out. I've driven the roads. I know the location. I knew how to get to the places. I know how we're going to get out. I know what date it is. So when surprises like this happen, it throws me a little bit. But I never test God. I don't just go to some place willy-nilly and just drive around without a plan. And I'm so convinced that if we step out in faith and are just obedient to what the Lord calls us to do, he looks after us. He does keep us safe. It's not that bad things never happen to Christians, but even when we go through those hard times, he's looking after it. Not only that, Molly's convinced that God not only has one angel, but a whole team of angels just making sure that I stay out of trouble. And I've proven it over and over and over again. But this map to me was just amazing. We sat around just amazed at how many different ways the Lord had provided for us during the whole trip. And so here's the view outside of our window. On about the third day of it, 2 days before we came home, a truck came rolling down our road. We didn't know if it was because of Jorge. I think it was. But the government finally militarized that whole area to make it safer. And I'm sure Jorge said, hey, can you put some guys down at the end of a road? Because we've got some missionaries here. And so four armed young men came out and stood guard outside of our house for the remainder of the 3 days that we were there and on down our road. And poor us had to suffer with the swimming pool. Oh, the hot tub didn't work. That was kind of sad. But And we needed it too. Boy, I'm not acclimated. I'm not ready. You guys had rain all week. It was only like 89, but it was so humid. It felt like 102. We just dripped with sweat the whole day. So most of it were just like hippopotamuses and just sat in the pool, keeping cool, thinking about all the ways that the Lord has been looking after us. And then this guy showed up in our yard. This is one of the biggest iguanas I've ever seen. You ever seen one of that big? He was like this big. Just showed up to say hi and then scampered off into the trees. No, I didn't eat him. That's what they do in El Salvador. Here's me and Pastor Jose on one of the last nights of the trip. And here's the rest of the team just kind of hanging out in the Caribbean. We went back on the way out of town on Tuesday morning. And this is all the footings. They're now done. It's covered over by dirt now, but all the footings are done, and now they're putting up the beams that are going to hold up the roof, and that's the state in which we left it. So it's still in a matter of progress. There's one of the outside footings. There's me kind of just showing off about the church that we're in the process of building, and there's the team. What a group of guys. And so anyway, on the way back, on the road, and you're going to wonder, why are you taking pictures of road sign? Because can you see what's on that road sign? Is that not the anteater? I call them aardvarks. I mean, they called themselves aardvarks because they wanted to be first in the alphabet. Can't rob them from that. But have you ever seen an aardvark crossing sign? Me either. I just thought it was amazing. So I said, we got to stop and take a picture of that. And then I saw another sign I'd never seen before. You ever seen one of those? Sloth crossing. Is that cool? Sloth crossing, because it takes them about 3 hours to get from one side of the road to the other. And Sam noticed something that I didn't notice. You see what's in the background? You see that thing? It's a sloth overpass. I kid you not. Coolest thing, because otherwise nobody's ever going to get through, right? Sloth crossing an overpass, and I wish, if I was more nefarious, I would have unscrewed that sign and brought it home with me, but instead I took a picture of it. And then there's this picture, which is lizard aardvark snake crossing. You ever seen one of those? And just as soon as we passed that one, there was a dead snake on the side of the road, and 2 miles down, poor aardvark met its fate, but we didn't hit him. Anyway, crossing signs like this. We got to go on the last day because now the embargo. On Sunday night, the cartel put out an edict that said at midnight tonight, the blockade is lifted. So everything is safe. We had Monday to spend with the church, and Pastor and I came over and did a little video for the church and interviewed the team. So they're going to be on our Facebook page. And she preaches the gospel like that. That's her ministry now, in addition to the kids. And she said, Pastor Mike, there's one little question I'm afraid to ask. And it's so humble. And she goes, you know, I do this video thing online, and but I have a terrible cell phone. Is there any way you could help me? And so I needed mine to get the team home. But I asked Vernon. I said, Vernon, would you mind giving up your cell phone? Asking a teenager to give up their cell phone before a long trip home. And before I even finished asking, he goes, yes. Yeah, she can have it. And so we left his Samsung cell phone there with her, and went to Cartagena, this old city, and went up into the Castillo, the castle, which is from the 1500s. It was really amazing. Climbed all up in the front of it. One thing I learned from my dad when I was younger in a mission trip is we work hard and we play hard and never pass up something historical and educational. And so there's my two boys up in the guard tower. Mangoes everywhere. Oh, man, if you've never had a ripe mango, and if you've had them from Safeway, they're not ripe, but a ripe mango from South America, they're just amazing. And we went to this really, really old church, also from the 1500s, one of the oldest churches in the Americas, and went to this place. Now, this is the House of the Marquis, which was one of the royals from the 1700s, and it's now a restaurant, and had one of my happiest meals. The guys had ribs, the boys had steak, and I had the most amazing seafood stew, whatever it was called, and just amazing, full of calamari and shrimp and snails. Anyway, It was delicious. And then some of the best espresso that we'd ever had. And there's Pastor Nye and her family. There in the purple shirt is her husband. And those are her two girls. And the lady next to Brad was the interpreter. And I just want to end by saying this. You could come. I just am so grateful. Who was praying for us last week? I know there were a couple. Were you praying? Thank you so much. And if there's a question in anybody's mind, why didn't you tell us all this was going on so we could be prayed? So I have a philosophy when I go on a mission trip or any place where I know there is a potential of any kind of danger or whatever. There's an old Irish blessing that says, may you be in heaven 5 minutes before the devil knows you're missing. And so I don't broadcast where we're going. I don't tell anybody. We don't put it on Facebook. I tell people not to be specific when they talk to their family back home. I don't tell people, you know, pray for us because we're up in this house in this city and there's people all around. So Molly knew last week when she preached and she prayed for safety. She knew it. She wasn't nervous. I don't know if she knows she just doesn't care or she knows that it. Or she knows the Lord was going to look after us, and he did. But the Lord just covered us the whole entire time. All of us, none of the team except for me got sick. I get sick every time just because I've been down so many times. It's the way my body works now. But nobody got sick. Nobody got injured. Nobody was hurt. And I told the pastor, I said, you know, as much as this has been kind of a shutdown and kind of a bummer, everything that we went down to accomplish, we accomplished. We brought the money down, or sent the money down, and got to help out with the building project. We got to bring all five of those suitcases. By the way, I delivered those to the church before everything got shut down. And I don't care what anybody says. When our church gives clothes and toys to little kids in a poor country, not even a cartel can stop us from delivering them. Nothing. Because the Lord's on our side and we know we're doing his work. He looked after it. We delivered all of those clothes. The one thing that we didn't get, which I love to do, is we didn't get that day where all the kids show up and we hand them all out, which is my favorite place to take pictures and you get to see it all. That'll happen, but it just wasn't safe last weekend. They didn't even have a meeting on Saturday. So I didn't get the photo op, but all of that stuff is going to get delivered and I'll have Nye send me pictures when it happens. So we did that. We delivered all the clothes and the toys. And the most important thing is we built relationship. Is we made lifelong friends. We have a sister church now that's there in Covanias. We might go again. Maybe I'll go by myself next time just to play it safe. But we're going to be in contact with them. And we're going to be praying for them over the long haul. Amen. That the Lord just bless them and prosper them. And I said, Lord, it's just amazing. When I look back, there was nothing that you had for us to do that wasn't accomplished. And no matter how much the enemy had planned for us, he was looking after us every step of the way. Can you say amen? Every step of the way. And I just want to give him all the praise. Would you pray with me today? Let's just pray. Father God, Lord, I just lift up that little Foursquare church in Covanias. Lord, I lift up Pastor Jose and his family. I lift up Pastor Nye and her family. I lift up all of those people. I lift up Jorge. And thank you, Lord, for Colonel Jorge and all of the covering that he was for us. What a blessing that you sent him to us, Lord. What a blessing, Lord, for Gerardo to be looking after us like that and providing us a car that was safe the whole time, praying for us, sending me texts. I mean, what rental car place does that? Sending me texts the whole week. Pastor Mike, I'm praying for you this week. All of the people in the church that got blessed, all of those little kids, ones that we didn't get to meet yet. Lord, I thank you for keeping our whole team safe and that you brought them along just for that special purpose. And we just give you the praise. We lift up your name. We ask you, Lord, that you'd always, whether it's in a foreign country or just around in the neighborhood where we're called to reach out, Lord, wherever we're just faithful to be responsive to you, Lord, may you cover. Lord, may you protect each and every family in this place. Keep them from harm. Lord, as they're faithful to do the things you've laid on their hearts, Lord God, always provide for the need and always protect. And we just thank you for your loving arms today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Amen. I love all of you so much. It's great to see all of you, and it's great to be back in the cool Northwest, that's for sure. Lord bless you. Have a great day.